On a practical basis, there are times when we live as though God did not even exist. It doesn't matter whether or not we're doing anything that is pleasing to the Lord or not.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Few things are harder to put up with, said a cynical Mark Twain, than the annoyance of a good example. And that's exactly what we have in Philippians, the second chapter, a good example. Perhaps the most annoying thing about a good example is its inability to achieve in others what it is capable of achieving in itself. We admire a good example. But admiration for a person, while it may inspire us, can never enable us. Unless that person, that being, that concept, that idea that we admire can somehow gain entrance into our lives and enter our lives and share with us his skills, there is no possibility that we can ever achieve what our example has achieved. It takes a powerful, dynamic supply of energy on the inside if we're to become all that God intends for us to be, if we're to be the authentic Christians that Paul describes for us here in Philippians, the second chapter. I want you to notice with me in verses 12 and 13 of Philippians chapter 2, two facets of responsibility in this connection. There's something for you to do. There's something for me to do. I call it a human element. That's verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. As I look at that little phrase, it's just filled with meaning to me. In fact, I see two basic ideas that kind of emerge or rise out of that phrase. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The first thing I see is that authentic Christians have the right activity. Genuine Christians have the right activity. They are working out their own salvation. The second thing that I see is that authentic Christians have the right attitude. They work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. I'll expand that. Do you know what kind of Christians are engaged in this process? Authentic Christians. They are working out practically their own salvation. They're bringing out on the outside, capitalizing on those infinite and vast resources that God placed on them in the inside. They're bringing it out on the outside so that others can see it, so that they'll glorify their Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, I believe it's verse 16. But now what's the attitude that authentic Christians have as they do this? Notice with me this latter phrase in verse 12. Work out your own salvation, how? With fear and trembling. Say, now, what does that mean, fear and trembling? Does that mean that if I fail to perform properly, God will cast me into hell? That somehow God will boot me out of the family? No, that isn't what it means at all. This is not the fear and trembling of a slave cringing before his master. Instead, it speaks rather of a wholesome, serious caution combined with a humble frame of mind, because we know this is such an important practice. It is so critical that we do this, that we become authentic Christians, that we work out our own salvation. Actually, I think on a technical basis that this fear is a twofold fear. First of all, this is a fear of displeasing God because you love him so much. And two, it is a fear of distorting the truth because you love others so much. And if you distort the truth in the eyes of other people, you'll drive them away from the truth. So Paul says, work out your own salvation. Become that authentic, genuine Christian that I intended you to be. Follow the example of Jesus Christ. One, because you fear ever doing anything that would displease your God. And two, you fear ever doing anything that would distort the truth of God. It is a fear of displeasing God, the true servant of the Lord. Is so in love with the Lord Jesus that there is nothing that he fears more than doing something that would displease him. Would you say, if you were asked to take just a moment of inventory and evaluate your own Christian experience, would you say that would describe the relationship you have with Jesus Christ? I'm so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm so grateful and thankful for all that he's done for me on the cross. And I rejoice so much in this rich and mighty and powerful salvation that he's placed within me that I'm working out and bringing out on the outside now. I'm so thankful and grateful for that. That there's one thing that devastates me with fear. It is not that he would ever kick me out of his family. He'll never do that according to the scripture. We'll always be a member of his family if we're born into the family. But there's one thing that devastates me with fear, and that is that I would ever do anything that would displease my Heavenly Father. I have such a strength of relationship to him, and such a sense of loyalty and responsibility to him, that I fear ever doing anything that would displease my Father. I wonder how many of us as Christians would say, Pastor, that's the kind of relationship I have with Christ. That's the kind of relationship I'm cultivating and developing with my Lord Jesus. You know, there are so many Christians, and it seems as though they live out their lives oblivious to the presence of God, oblivious to the wishes and desires and will of God. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, it never enters their mind that everything they do is in the eyes of God. And they never consult or consider the wishes and the will of God. You know, there are so many professing Christians who would say academically, no, I'm not an atheist, but practically they live like atheists. An academic atheist is a man who compiles reasons as to why he doesn't believe in the existence of God. Oh, no, I'm not that kind of an atheist. I believe in God. I remember the day I walked the old sawdust trail, and I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and that's wonderful. I remember the day I did it. But you know, on a practical basis, there are times when we live as though God did not even exist. It doesn't matter whether or not we're doing anything that is pleasing to the Lord or not. And yet Paul says, work out your own salvation with this attitude, with fear and trembling. And what he means by that is, you should have a fear of ever displeasing God. This is not the kind of fear that drives a man to hide from God. It drives a man into the presence of God. It's the fear of a loyal and loving son who fears only one thing, that I'll ever do anything that my Father will be displeased with. I'm so in love with my Father, and I'm so loyal to him, I don't ever want to do anything that would displease him. That's the only fear that grips the heart of a true servant of God. But it's not only a fear of displeasing God, it's also a fear of distorting the truth. Let me see if I can convey this to you for a moment here. God always works on the principle of incarnation. You know what that means? God's truth is not just something abstract. He wants to put flesh on it. So when Jesus came, he said, I am the way, I am the truth. I am the personification of truth. God's truth is always concrete. You can get a hold of it. You can understand it. You can see it enacted in the lives of people. Now, when Jesus was here on earth, he was the very personification of truth, but Jesus isn't here anymore. He's ascended to heaven. He's coming again. He sent his alter ego, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, the Comforter, to inhabit us. But Jesus has a body on earth. Ye are a body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, to that local church. Ye are a body of Christ. You know what you are? Do you know what I am as a Christian? We are the very personification of truth. What a devastating thing to make the truth unattractive, to fail to work out our own salvation. If there's anything that should induce fear in our hearts, it is that somehow by my behavior, I would clutter up the portrait of truth. I would create a caricature, a warped picture of the truth. And in so doing, I would repel people from the truth. The truth is the only thing that can set a man free. And you and I are living, dynamic portraits of the truth. So the scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. With this kind of fear, phobia and trauma, they're the Greek words. Phabu and tramu, phobia and trauma, they're in our English language. Work out your own salvation with this kind of fear and trembling. One, the fear that you would ever do anything that would displease your Heavenly Father. And two, a fear that you would ever distort the truth and make it unattractive so that others would be repelled from it. So we're taught in the scriptures that there's something for us to do. Now, there's something as well, if we want to become authentic Christians, for God to do. And now I'm nearly out of time, and so I can only give you this outline. Perhaps on some other occasion, I can fill in the skeleton for you. But maybe you would want just this outline of Philippians 2 and verse 13. How can I work out my own salvation, we think? Well, here's how. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, when I look at that verse, there are four things that I see, and I'll just give you the outline. The first thing I see is the personality. It is God. Let me tell you this. If you are here without a vital personal union with God, you have absolutely no foundation to your life. If you do not begin with God, You have begun with nothing. You are building on nothing. And there is no substance and no destiny of meaning to your life. You must begin with God. The great joy of the Christian experience is that you and I can have an intimate and a personal union with God. The scripture says, when the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous have an everlasting foundation. Proverbs 10 and verse 25. The whirlwinds come, and when it passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is still there because he has God. He has an everlasting foundation. Proverbs 10 and verse 25. The personality, it is God. The proximity, where is God? It is God who worketh in you. The great beauty and wonder of the Christian experience is that God takes up residence within us. Our greatest need is God. Not the things God gives, but God himself. God knows what our needs are. He gives himself to us. The great beauty of the Christian experience is that God does not give us things, he gives us himself. May I just say this? Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. He gives to his children just what they need. He gives himself to them. But you know there are some mothers and fathers, Christian mothers and fathers, that don't know that that's what their children need? Do you know what your children want from you, fathers? Not the things you give them. They want you. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know my children. They seem quite content with the things I give them. Yet it might be that they've given up all hope of ever getting you, and so they take what is second best. But God never gives his children what is second best. God gives first best. He gives himself to us. His proximity, he's in you. And then his power, it is God who worketh. That's that word, energain, energy. And it's always used in two ways in the New Testament, energain. One, it's used of divine energy. It's always the action of God that's conveyed by that word. And two, it's always used of dynamic energy. It is effective action. It is effective power. It's the kind of power that gets the job done. God is at work in you. Do you know, Christian, that's why you can work out what is in you, because God is at work in you, doing it, giving you the power and the resources that you need. The last thing is the purpose. Why is God at work in you? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Two things. One, he gives you the deep down desire to do right, to will. Two, he actually gives you the power to perform the deeds, to do. What he causes us to will, he causes us to do by the indwelling power of his Holy Spirit. When you take those two elements, the human, verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and the heavenly, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. When you take those two elements and you blend them together in a meaningful Christian life, you have limitless, vast potential to become the authentic Christian that God intended every one of us to be.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.